morning, everyone, and thank you for your welcome. It's good to be with you today. I think Pat and I were here 5 or 6 years ago when we spoke at your Christmas meal, but this is the first time we've been with you on a Sunday. It's good to be able to share the Word of God with you. Well, I want to turn to this parable of the vineyard workers, which we find in the opening 16 verses of Matthew chapter 20. And I just want to begin by setting out some of the details in the parable. In verse 1, the owner of the vineyard is seeking for workers. And so early in the morning, he goes to the market and he hires some men to work in his vineyard. And having agreed that they will work, verse 2, for a denarius, which was a fair day's wage, off the men went to work in the vineyard. Well, during the course of the day, more men were needed. And so at the third hour, 9 a.m., the sixth hour, 12 noon, at the ninth hour, 3 p.m., and at the 11th hour, 5 p.m., more men are hired to work in the vineyard. Now, there was a difference between those hired first thing in the morning and those who were hired as the day proceeded. Those hired first thing, verse 2, they had a negotiated and agreed wage. It was a denarius a day. But those who were hired afterwards did not have a negotiated wage. Verse 4, to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you." It was not a negotiated wage, but they trusted the integrity of the owner of the vineyard, and off they went to work amongst the vines. Well, everyone was happy until 6 p.m., and it was then that the trouble started. It would be impossible to estimate how many arguments and disputes have started with money. And this was one of them. Verse 8, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers, pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." Those who had worked for just 1 hour, they got the same wage as those who had been working since first thing in the morning. And not only that, those who'd worked for just 1 hour, they were first in the queue. They got paid first. Well, this was not acceptable to the National Union of Vineyard Workers. And so they complained to the owner of the vineyard. They said, "It isn't fair. It isn't just." What was his response? Verse 13, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last worker as I give to you." He'd not broken his word. he'd not gone back on his promise. He'd said to those hired first thing in the morning, I'll pay you a denarius. And that's precisely what he paid them. And if he wanted to pay all the workers the same wage, irrespective of hours worked, then he was quite free to do so. Verse 15, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? Well, those are the bare details of the story. I want now to centre our thoughts on two things. First of all, the hour when they were called. The hour when they were called. In verse 1, the owner of the vineyard goes out and he calls some early in the morning. Day has just begun. The sun has just risen. And the call comes to these men. They are called early in the morning. Now it's a wonderful thing when the call of God comes early in the morning. When God saves a boy or a girl when they're young and tender in years. He did it with Samuel in the Old Testament. He did it with John the Baptist in the New Testament. The call of God came to them, and whilst they were young and tender in years, they were converted. They became the children of God. Well, it still happens today. It still happens today. In recent years, we've heard of a young man and a young woman. They'll be in their 30s now. But they both testify that they became Christians when they were young children in our children's meeting at Ingleton. My own wife, Pat, she came from a non-Christian home. When she was a girl of 12, she was saved in a Salvation Army hall. The call of Christ came to them when they were young. He saved them as children, and having saved them, he's kept them. But not everyone is saved early in the morning. Some are saved at the third hour, or the sixth hour, or the ninth hour. And I suspect if we are saved this morning, then most of us come into that category. Perhaps we were teenagers, young men, young women, middle-aged men, middle-aged women, when the call of Christ came to us. Well, again, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. We're told in verse 3 that he went out about the third hour. He saw others standing idle in the marketplace. When I worked in the job centre many, many years ago, it wasn't always easy getting someone back to work if they'd been out of work for many months, or in some cases for 2 or 3 years. And it wasn't so much that they were idle, it was rather they'd just got out of the habit of going to work. And so their days now were preoccupied with other things. And that's how it is if we're not converted as children. We become more and more preoccupied with the things of this world. And as a result, spiritual idleness sets in. And by the time we get to 20 or 40 or 50, certain besetting sins have already made their mark. And so it's a wonderful thing. But at the third or the sixth or the ninth hour, the call of Christ still comes. And the grace of God is so amazing, even then he can deliver us from our spiritual idleness. He can save us from our many sins. And though we be 20, 40, 50, 60 years of age, he can call us even then to serve him, to work in his vineyard. Some were called early in the morning. Others were called at the third, the sixth, the ninth hour. But notice verse 6. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. He said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." Now you can't be called at the 12th hour. By then the sun has set. Your time on earth is over. You can't be called at the 12th hour. But it is possible to be called at the 11th hour. That's how it was with the dying thief. Saved, taken to heaven within the space of a few hours. Oh, it doesn't often happen, but it can happen. Charles Spurgeon told of a man who was converted in Virginia at the age of 103. Some words he'd heard preached many, many years before came back to him with tremendous power, and he was convicted and converted. Well, he died at the age of 106. And when he died, this inscription was put over his tomb: "A babe in Christ, aged 3 years, who died according to nature, aged 106 years." That was tremendous, wasn't it? Almost midnight. Almost midnight. But the call of Christ came to that man. What can I ask you this morning? Have you responded to the call of Christ? Have you? Oh, the devil says, put it off. Wait until you get to 103. Well, true, the man in Virginia was converted at the age of 103, but I've never known anyone converted at the age of 103. Possible, but never. But not at all probable. Never think you've got all the time in the world. As far as the Bible is concerned, the only time you've got is now. The only day you are guaranteed is today. And that's why the Bible says, today, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Is Christ calling someone this morning? Through the reading, through the hymns, through the word as it is preached. Don't reject him. Don't ignore him. You come to Christ today. He doesn't promise you tomorrow. The hour they were called. But the second thing, the wages they received. The wages they received. Now be honest, when you read this parable, don't you perhaps feel those called early in the morning, they had a point? They had a point. They worked all day for just one denarius, whilst others who'd only worked 1 hour, they too got a denarius. Don't you feel, well, it wasn't altogether fair? They got a raw deal. True, no worker was defrauded. Each worker got what they'd been promised. But there's still that niggle. Should not those who'd worked many hours have got more than those who worked for just 1 hour? What is the answer to that dilemma? Well, it's to be found in those important four words at the beginning of the parable. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. This parable is not about earth. It's not about the wages, the working conditions we can expect on earth. This parable is about the kingdom of heaven. It's about the economy of heaven. The basis, the grounds on which we gain access to heaven. And so I want to say three things. The first is this. On earth, if things are not fair, if they are not just, then as Christian people, we have a responsibility to put them right. This was the theme of Amos and other Old Testament prophets. It was what motivated evangelical Christians such as William Wilberforce, George Muller, Elizabeth Fry, the Earl of Shaftesbury. They saw social evils, social injustice, and they sought to do something about it. Now, someone might object. Just a moment. Helping the disadvantaged, supporting the oppressed, prioritizing the poor and needy. Isn't that the social gospel? Well, I say no. No. For biblical Christians, that is not the social gospel. It's rather one of the fruits of the gospel. Repentance towards God, faith towards Jesus Christ. That is the authentic, unchanging gospel. That is the gospel I've preached for over 50 years. But it must result in fruit, one of which is a true concern for the well-being of our fellow man. And that's why it's good to have Christians in Parliament, on town councils, in the trade union movement, in industry, in education, in the health service, in whatever sphere of society you care to name. There they can act as salt. They can exert an influence and work for the betterment of men and of women. The second thing. That is earth. But this parable is about the kingdom of heaven. Verse 8. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers, pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. A denarius was what you could expect if you'd done a full day's work. But these in verse 9 had not done a full day's work. They'd worked for just 1 hour. And yet they still got a denarius. Why? Well, the owner of the vineyard tells us, verse 15, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Do you begrudge my generosity?" These workers got a denarius because of the goodness, the generosity, the grace of the owner. They'd not earned it. They didn't deserve it. It was all down to the goodness, the grace of the vineyard owner. Well, my friends, is that not the Christian gospel? Is that not the sole reason anyone will be in heaven? We've not earned it. In no way do we deserve it. This is the amazing grace of God. This is the incredible generosity of our Father in heaven. And so it doesn't matter this morning whether we're young or old, rich or poor, educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter whether before conversion we were a respectable person or the vilest of sinners. It doesn't matter. We've all been saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I think of two men who were in the church where Pat and I worshipped when we were first married. One of the men was called Ralph. The other man was called Eddie. Now, we never called Ralph Ralph, because he was a Cambridge graduate. He was a retired British diplomat. He had the OBE. He had a most distinguished war record. And he sat on many national bodies and committees. And yet I have to say that Ralph was the most humble Christian I've ever met. And some of these things I've just mentioned, we didn't know about until we were at his funeral service. That was Ralph. Eddie? Well, he was a simple soul. I suppose today we would say he had special needs. And we never quite knew just where Eddie stood, what his understanding of the gospel was. But then 2 or 3 weeks before he died, he was taken into the hospice. And his pastor went to visit him. And he was greeted by Eddie, who said, "Oh," he said, "Pastor, in a few days' time, I'm going home." And his pastor said, "Are you sure, Eddie? You're not very well." "Oh," he said, "I'm going home to heaven." And then he said something which thrilled our hearts. He said, "You see, Jesus died to get me ready for heaven, and he's gone to heaven to get it ready for me." Isn't that wonderful? Jesus died to get me ready for heaven, and he's gone to heaven to get it ready for me. Ralph and Eddie, chalk and cheese. In human terms, nothing in common. But sometimes on a Sunday morning, They would be sat side by side in the church. Why? They had something in common. They both have the self-same testimony. Saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I remember a man in my church at Ingleton, and of his own admission before conversion, he'd not been the best of husbands. He'd given his wife many, many difficult times. And for years afterwards, this was one of the things that stopped his wife from responding to the gospel. Oh, she saw the change, the radical change in her husband. She didn't doubt for one moment he had been saved. But again and again she said to me, she said, John, it's not fair. It's not fair. After what he's done to me, after the way he's treated me, he should be punished, not saved. For eventually, she herself was saved. But for years, this was the obstacle. God has not been fair. The very same argument as that used by the workers in this parable. The owner has not been fair. He's not been just. He's given someone something they don't deserve. Friends, that is the gospel. That is the gospel. If we're Christians this morning, we're getting what we don't deserve. Mercy instead of wrath. Salvation instead of condemnation. Heaven instead of hell. It's all because of the goodness, the generosity, the amazing grace of our God. Pat and I were in a cafe a few weeks ago, and an elderly man came and sat at the next table, and I couldn't help but notice what it said on the front of his t-shirt. It said this: I am British by birth, but Yorkshire by the grace of God. That's what we have to put up with, you see, over the border. I'm British by birth, but Yorkshire by the grace of God. We can paraphrase that. We are sinners by birth. Sinners by birth. But citizens of heaven by the grace of God. And that's true for every Christian here this morning. Whatever our past, whatever our background, we've been saved by grace through faith. Just a third and final thing. In heaven, we shall not speak about fairness or justice. It won't even be a consideration. Why? Well, a few minutes ago we sang Charles Wesley's great hymn, And Can It Be? Do you remember the words in that hymn? Died he for me? Who caused his pain? For me, who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? We shall see the nail-pierced hands, the wounds of our Saviour, and our only question will be, was it fair that Jesus should die for me. The just for the unjust. Was it right that the wrath of God should be poured out upon him instead of being poured out upon me? Was it fair that Jesus had to experience hell in order that I might enjoy heaven? That will be our theme. That will be our preoccupation in heaven. Not wages or hours worked. Not rights or justice or fairness. Yes, those things are for earth. In heaven, we will be captivated by Jesus. We'll be caught up with the wonder of our salvation. And throughout eternity, we will marvel and we'll be amazed by the wondrous grace of our God. Shall we pray? Father, we are humbled when we think of your amazing grace toward us. How we thank you for that salvation which is ours in Christ. Not earned, not deserved, but all of your grace and all of your mercy. Father, we pray that by your Spirit you would move in our hearts afresh this morning, that we might indeed have that renewed sense of wonder, that renewed sense of amazement, that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And Father, should there be one in the service this morning who is still unsaved, who is still rejecting Christ, oh, we pray that you would have mercy upon them today, that your Spirit will so work within their hearts that this shall indeed be the accepted time, the day of their salvation. Grant indeed that they may go forth from this church different to the person who came in, having that assurance that they too have been saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word. Help us so to hide it in our hearts that we shall not sin against you. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.